My vision was warped and doubled. I raised a hand to rub them, and saw white feathers. No. Impossible. I could not be following Mergen's path. I could not be losing my moorings in time. I would not stand for it. I willed myself.
Ah!
Not from my beak. A black shape popped into sight in front of me, wings spread, slowing. Talons reached toward me. I spun, hurled myself off the dead branch where I had been perched, and was sorry instantly. I found myself just yards from a face 5 feet tall. It boasted more fangs than a shark does teeth. It was darker than midnight. The odor of its breath was the stench of decaying flesh. The triumphant grin on those wicked ebony lips faded as I evaded the swat of a gigantic clawed hand. I, sleepy, was in a trousers-soiling panic, but something else was inside the bird with me. And it was having fun.
"Sister, sister, that was close. The bitch is getting sneakier. But she will never surprise me. She cannot. Nor will she understand that she cannot."
Who is me? The exercise was over. I was in my body on the plane, in the rain, shuddering while my mind's eye observed the capering dreamwalkers. I examined what I had experienced and concluded that I had been given a message, which was that Kina knew we were coming. The dreaming goddess had been pretending quiescence of recent decades. She knew patience intimately, by all its secret names. And I may have been given another message as well. Kina still was the mother of deceit. Quite possibly nothing I had learned recently was entirely or even partially true if Kina had found a way to wander the shadowed reaches of my mind. I had no doubt that she could. She had managed to inform entire generations and regions with a hysterical fear of the Black Company before the advent of the old crew. I swear I sensed her amusement over having quickened in me a deeper and more abiding distrust of everything around me. Chapter 80. Suvrin wakened me early. He sounded glum. I could not see his face in the darkness.
"Trouble, sleepy," he whispered.
And I have to give him credit. He was first to realize the implications of the fact that it was snowing. But then, he had seen more of the white stuff than any of us but Swan. And Willow had been away from it long enough to turn into an old man. I wanted to moan and groan, but that would have done no good, and we needed to get a handle on the situation right away.
"Good thinking," I told him.
"Thanks. Go around in that direction and wake up the sergeants. I'll circle around to the left." Despite my nightmares, I felt rested. The snowfall in no way recognized the presence of the protection shielding our campsite, which meant the boundaries were no longer obvious. I sensed a heightened killing lust amongst the shadows. They had seen this before. It would be snack time if anyone started running around nervously. We had One Eye and Goblin on our side. Tobo